It's time to love cats. The Purrcast is on. I'm Nathan Hughes. Thank you for listening. Remember when I told you I started taking Dakota to cat shows? It was March of 2017. Took him to his first show. Remember the timetable? It was June of 2016 when Citri, Amelia, and Violet came home. In May, after the March of his first show, 2017, I decided to take him to his next show in May in Franklin Park, Illinois. And I decided that that would be Citri's first show. She was strikingly beautiful, solid. At first I thought she might be a Havana Brown, but in the nearly year, 11 months she had been home, her coat had switched from short to long. It had filled out. I guess it's possible torties take a year or two to fully develop into how they're going to permanently look. Citri's coat didn't change color. She remained a solid brown, but it sure changed length, and she sure filled out body-wise. So, Dakota and Citri are entered, and we're going to the show. I have bathed both of them and groomed them and gotten them ready to show. They're looking good. I took their collars off so their necklines wouldn't get re-rumpled by the collars after being bathed. At that time, home was about 5 miles from work, and I stopped by my work truck for a few things on the way to the show. When I opened the door, Citri bolted from the car. We tried to catch her. We followed her around the building, and we lost her. She got away. She would not come when called. To say the least, I was distraught. I didn't know what to do, how to act, or what to think. If this were a Hollywood movie, you'd scoff at it, saying it was too far-fetched. Nothing realistically that bad could ever happen. On the way to her first show? Sure. Okay. We looked, we looked, we looked. I knew I couldn't follow through with the show. I'd be a wreck. We went back home. And I texted my friend Nicole, the one who had given me Eustina, and said, tell them she was going to be at the show. I said, tell them we're not coming. And then I got on the page because I had promised everybody pictures and video and said, we've lost Citri and we've come home. No show today. We've come home without her. I just couldn't shake the sensation of my chest being hollow. I didn't know what to do. I had never tried to get a lost cat back before. I am having a hard time communicating the depth of how crushed I was. I mean, there are time constraints here that I have to work within. And perhaps giving you the facts, just the facts, is the way to go, because there is no way possible to communicate the feeling. But I had to go to work in a couple days, leaving knowing she was out there somewhere. The first thing I kind of thought was, it makes sense that the trail will never be warmer than it is right now. And remember when I said a while ago, the blessings didn't only flow one way? Well, in the midst of what I consider a tragedy, and that's not too strong a word, I got shown what the heart of cat people is towards each other very clearly. Folks, Dakota's followers are some of the most kind-hearted people in the world. That's not hype. When it mattered greatly, they stepped up. They offered to donate to 3 separate GoFundMes. And they did, 3 separate times. A total of about $1,300. But the thing they did right away, I said, okay, here's something you can do that is going to be a lot more effective and more quickly than sending money. Remember my experience and how I got Citri and the kittens. And I said, we need humane traps. That's how I got her. And I think if that's how I get her again, that's going to be how. To make a long story short, they started buying traps and having them sent to the tractor supply store near where we lived. After a dozen, I had to say, stop, no more traps. We've got all we can use. All that summer, my weekend home time would be spent trying to get her back, moving those traps around. Where did I move them? Well, probably the biggest expense that those GoFundMes paid for was consulting with an animal communicator. There are plenty of animal communicators out there, but not all of them deal with lost cats. This is what I found. And if you hear the phrase animal communicator, that somebody you think like telepathy or what, he claims to be able to talk to her, never having met her or been around her or being thousands of miles away. If you're skeptical, well, join the club. I was. But it got to the point I had no other option. I had spent $440 on 10 very high-quality signs and put them around. All around work. I mean, at about a mile perimeter in every direction around work. I set traps all around the industrial park where I work. After I had my first consultation with the animal communicator, I started setting traps where he said he thought she was. How it would work, I sent him by email, I sent him a picture of her, and on a map, her last known location. And he would email me back and said, and we would always start each email the same way. I had 5 separate consultations with him. I had a chance to speak to Citri, and it seems like her energy is still attached to her body, meaning she's still alive. She told me she's despondent. She has a source of water, but food is a problem. There are other cats around, but she doesn't go near them. That sort of thing. And I would go as close as I could to where he said she was. He would put dots on a map, and I would go ask the people in that area, explain what was going on, armed with his emails to show them, and ask if I could set traps. Some said yes, some said no. Most said yes. And it was about a month later, if you remember the episode where you met Bateman, that was where I trapped him on the farmstead. That was how I got my panther. Trapping for Citri. Another word about animal communicators. Like I said, I was skeptical, as anybody could be. And in the second consultation, he told me that she was at a house, near a house, that had a pen for animals and an outbuilding the same color as a house, a light color with dark trim. And both the house and the outbuilding were painted the same way. And that nearby, there were crops in a field that were green and low to the ground. And I thought, well, yeah, okay. Anybody with Google Maps Street View can tell that. So I went online to Google Maps Street View. And for this street, it wasn't available. Okay. Maybe a slight chill there. So I go out, and the house and the outbuilding are white with black trim. And it's a very large lot, and it backs up against a fence line to a cornfield. And the corn is a little less than knee high. Remember, this is June, and if you remember the old song about corn, knee high by the 4th of July. Of course, these days it gets much taller than that by then, but before hybrid grains and science took over, if your corn was knee high by the 4th of July, it was a good crop, or on its way to being. But this was June, and it was about halfway up to your knee. Like he had said, low to the ground. I trapped there, and in the next consultation, she had moved about a quarter mile north. And that's when I trapped at the farmstead for a couple weeks. I had put flyers in every mailbox in the area near where her path was taking her. And in late August, I got a call off a flyer. The individual said, "I think your cat's been sleeping in our yard." Well, it was a big yard, several acres. This was a very affluent area with big houses on large lots, very large. And this person remembered my flyer. They got it, shoved it in a drawer, and when they saw the cat, they dug it out and said, "Yeah, that looks like the one. But I'm getting help during the week because over near work, I trapped a semi-feral cat and turned it into a TNR, local TNR group, Trap, Neuter, Release, or Return. And ever since then, the TNR lady was helping me during the week when I was gone. She was of invaluable assistance. At that house, where the homeowner called me, I caught possums, I caught skunks, I caught raccoons. One time, on a weekend, I was moving traps to try different places on the same property, and I saw her. It stopped me in my tracks. I sat down the two traps I was carrying, and I thought, how do I approach this? She was over by one of the traps. The animal communicator had told her, if you see these metal things, don't be afraid to go in them. People love you very much and are looking for you. I'm now certain she didn't want to be caught. Remember how I brought her home. I used to say she was too trap smart for her own good. She had been in my trap before and was never going to be again. But I now think she was making the conscious decision that she didn't want to go back home. Dakota's followers, some have suggested, no, she was used to being on her own. She knew her babies were taken care of. And that's what mattered. And she didn't want to go back. And I think that's probably true. Well, when I saw her, I put down the traps very softly and I started to walk towards her, also quietly as I could. When I closed the gap to about 30 yards or so, I stopped and I started to talk to her very softly, and she turned and looked at me. And I started to walk very slowly towards her. She, you know how a ferret will look up? She was doing that. And she immediately got low to the ground and then slunk away. Not at bullet speed, but swiftly, fast. And when she went away, that's when I knew it was her. Remember what I said about her gracefulness? She still had it. I knew her movements very well. I mean, you could put her behind a shade and let me see just her silhouette, and I'd know whether or not it was her. And I had no doubt it was. And I now consider it a treat that I got to see her one last time. When the fall and winter came, still trapped, still sent out flyers, not as often. My help wasn't as game in the winter time, so it was pretty much my effort on weekends. And I trapped after the first snowfalls. I tried different traps. I went to home centers and I bought plastic totes, cut holes in the side with, the animal entry doors you put in actual house doors. I put them in the side of the totes with straw and food inside. And I drilled holes around the lid and zip tied them on in place. So an animal, a cat, could easily enter, you know, what looked like you often see a makeshift shelter for ferals during cold weather. I made a trap of it. A cat could easily enter but not leave because the door would swing only one way. And I actually caught a cat that way, just not her. So I finally gave that up. In the dead of winter, I stopped trapping. And I decided that she was where she was going to be. The last animal communicator consultation said there are other cats around and she has a steady food supply. Folks, there are a lot of barn cats in this area. I think she became one. I think she moved from barn to barn. But at the time she had a steady food source, I'm thinking it's really, really likely that was her situation. Never stop thinking about her, never will, never forget her. That was actually not the end of Citri's story. There would be a final chapter later on at a time I was totally not expecting it. But that's a good place to put a bookmark. So I'm going to skip around a little time-wise now. Go back to early 2017. And this is memorable because Citri was on a truck trip with us, with me, Marble, and Dakota. For a trip out, I remember it very well. Marble, Dakota, and Citri, because you see, sometimes I would take other cats in the truck on a rotational basis. And it was her turn, and it was something, because we delivered and reloaded in Colorado and headed back for the Midwest. And it was cold outside, as Nebraska in early March will be. And we stopped at a McDonald's with truck parking in Ogallala, Nebraska. That's western Nebraska. And I'm sitting there doing my paperwork for the day after we stop. And Dakota comes up and jumps up on the dashboard. And I'm writing and I'm doing my log, finishing up, recording mileage, so on and so forth. And I look up and I notice he's on high alert. So I start looking outside the truck at what he's seeing. And I see over by a dumpster, there's a small cat. And it looks like she's scrounging for food. Well, ever since Elsie, the warehouse cat, and Citri and her kittens, I carried a trap in the truck. So I quick broke it out. Obviously, I've got cat food. I baited the trap with cat food, set it behind the dumpster, checked it in the morning, and bingo, she was there. This was a calico cat, which, as you might know, are all females, pretty much, with very, very little exception. Calicos and torties will be all female. And this was a young cat, probably 6 years old, and she 6 months old, and she was pregnant. And I thought, of course. Do you recall what I said about a cat in a trap and how docile Bateman was? Well, Layla, as I would name her, evened out that law of averages pretty well. She was fairly frantic. I got her in the truck before I went to release her. And actually, let me back up. First, I decided to open the trap a little and reach in and see how friendly she was, how willing she was to let me touch her. First, I put on a work glove, leather. Good idea. She was not open to being touched, to put it very diplomatically. So I thought, I'll let her out in the truck. And at least that way she won't get away. And we, for a minute, might feel like we're all in a blender with her. But if that's how it goes, that's how it goes. While she was still in the trap, I made sure she saw Marble and Dakota so she'd know there are other cats around. Try to get a little feeling of safety going. And I let her out and she jumped out and quickly hid behind a seat or something. I forget. And I let her alone a few minutes. And I didn't, when I approached her next, I didn't try to pick her up. I came bearing food, which she ate. Turned out she was eating for five, so she ate. And I was able to pet her a little bit while she was eating. Actually, she warmed up very quickly. I remember driving on farther that day. Not all the way home, but I think somewhere in Iowa. Stopped for the night and did a live video to Dakota's page to introduce her. And by that time, she was letting me hold her calmly. She was purring. She was okay. And I remember explaining during the video, when I got her and I started petting her and handling her and looking her over, looking for wounds, looking for fleas, that kind of thing. I realized my thumb was bloody, and I thought, where am I bleeding from? Turns out, the first time I tried to touch her with the glove on, she bit through the glove and through my thumbnail. Thankfully, it was just one of her little needle large kitten teeth, and it went through the glove and neatly through my thumbnail and caused a very small hole. But, okay. I said that's okay. I don't hold it against you. Got her back home. Well, we've been here before. Eventually, she had her litter of four kittens in my closet at the very same place Elsie had. And this time, we fostered her and her kittens for Animal House Shelter. Watching those kittens grow up was just a pleasure. And we were not in a position to be a foster fail. We had a house full. Remember, we had kept Citri, Amelia, and Violet. So we were at our limit for foster fail. We fostered them. And one of the highlights of our times there was every year Animal House Shelter does a calendar contest. You can enter a pet. Anyone anywhere can enter. It doesn't have to be a pet that was adopted at the shelter. But you enter it through a website, pay a small entry fee, and then votes cost $1 a piece. And the one with the most votes gets to be on the cover. Well, Dakota's followers came through again. Over the contest, they voted her up to over $2,000 worth of votes. And on the final day, narrowly lost. So her and her litter of kittens were on the October page of the 2018 Animal House Shelter calendar. To take that idea a little farther, we didn't have an entry in 2019, but in 2020, I entered Dakota. And once again, his followers are the best. He won. He was on the cover of their 2020 calendar. I've still got two copies of it, as you might imagine. When Layla's four kittens became 3 months old, the day that kittens move from foster care to the shelter is Saturday of every week. We took them in, and before the weekend was over, like I say, you might not believe it if it was in the movie this time because it was too good. But they went home the first weekend in pairs. I mean, two sets of brother and sister. Two each to two different homes. That's about as good as it gets, folks. And then we had a foster fail and kept Layla. Just some odds and ends. The first week of January in 2017, Dakota's followers, after 2 months of continuous voting, voted Dakota Modern Cat Magazine's Cat of the Week for January 9th, 2017. Dakota has been in a music video. Somebody contacted me, inboxed me on his page, and said they had written a song. It was a rock song about a spoiled cat who bemoans his internet star lifestyle. That got my attention. So very short. He was in like about a 3 second segment of that. It's been a really fun ride. There's one thing I need to tell you before we go. Well, a couple things, actually. Remember, I said there was another chapter about Citri. Well, when I was first checking out that animal communicator guy, I did some research on the web, and I actually found a couple of talk show appearances that he had made. He had written a book about communicating with animals, dogs and cats. And I bought the book and read it. And I would talk to Citri, and I would talk to my other cats. I still do a little. And I can tell you it is possible. It's not magic. It's not mystical. It's an ability that this guy says is latent in all of us. We all have it, and we can all develop it to one degree or another. I mean, not everybody to the point he has it, but everybody can do at least a little of it. And I tested that out, and I found it's true. The one example from his book, the way he illustrated it, he said, have you ever seen one or more animals, dogs or cats, and they're all laying around just being still, and without any audible stimulus, no noises, no sounds, they're all looking in different directions, not paying attention to each other. All of a sudden, they'll at the same time look up and be alert and looking in the same direction. They've communicated somehow. And he described how it worked and how we could develop it. And I did to some small degree. Well, folks, Thursday night, August 20th of 2020, I was at work. I had just gotten back from a trip. It was nearly fully dark, and I had backed into a parking place, dropped my trailer, and I was going to put the trip envelope for that trip. This is how I get paid, so this is important. I was going to put the trip envelope in the back mailbox so it could be taken in the next morning. And I did, and I was walking back to the truck. I cleared the stairs, and there's a point after about, 60, 70 feet where the asphalt becomes a dirt parking lot. And I was maybe 20 feet short of reaching the dirt part of the parking lot. And boom, like a ton of bricks, Citri was there. I wasn't thinking about her. This was about 3 years later. She was not a part of my daily thought process anymore. Of course, I'll never forget her, but I think you get the point. I mean, not the preoccupation she was when she first went missing. And suddenly, she was there. I knew it. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I started looking in all directions at once. I spun around. I did a 360, and I started calling to her. Citri, Citri kitty, where are you, sweetie? I'm here. Where are you? And I start looking for like little hiding places. And I'm looking all around. And after about 20 to 30 seconds, I realize she's here, just not physically. Folks, that was the day she passed, and she honored me by coming to say goodbye. It was the clearest communication I've ever had, and I was able to spend about 10 minutes with her. She had a question for me. It was unsurprising, really. She told me that she knew I loved her. She didn't at first, But as the weeks and months went on and she saw me both with her and with Amelia and Violet, she knew for sure I really did love her, and she came to trust me. Despite the one nagging thing she could never figure out. And that was why I only brought two kittens home and not all three. She never made sense of that. So I explained to her that once I saw her and not her third kitten in the trap, I had a terrible, terrible decision to make. And why I made the decision I did. Because there still was a chance we could catch the other kitten. But whether we did or not, she wouldn't keep having more to bring into the world to live that way. And she understood. And we just spent a couple more minutes together, just being together. And she said, "I have to go now." And I said, "I know. I'll see you again. I'll look forward to it until I do." And she was gone. Well, folks, what I'm finding is it isn't really possible to tell you all my experiences with cats, especially having owned the four best ones in the world for the last few years. I'm not a bit biased. I think the best I can do is give you some outtakes, some highlights, and I feel like I've done that. I'm not going to say it's time to wrap it up, because it's not, but it's time to move on for now. There will be more experiences ahead. I love all cats, starting with, but not limited to, my own. And I hope this podcast will be a forum and a force that will help them. I've always said on the page, I'm not an activist. I don't advocate. I educate. I think the best thing I can do long term to help cats is to help foster a new generation of informed, intelligent cat people. And that's what I hope to do here. And we might just have some fun along the way. But I'm going to skip back in time now as we close. There's one thing that really doesn't, it has to do with my cats, but it's not particular to cats. It's just a little something I learned. And I hope you can learn from it too. After Dakota came home in April of 2012, I knew I had something special. I'd take him on supply runs to me, to PetSmart. The whole store crew knew him. The manager told me, "That's the coolest cat I've ever seen. I love my three, but I can't do the things with them that you can with him." He had such personality. And long about sometime over the summer, June, July, August, somewhere, I forget exactly when, but I was talking about Dakota with someone close to me. And by someone close, I mean someone who had a position in my life to influence me. Someone I had respect for. And after I told the latest story, the latest insight I had gained into him, I said, you know, I think he just might need his own Facebook page. This person didn't say a word, but they responded with an intentionally exaggerated eye roll. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. And I thought, oh yeah, okay. Maybe I am a little overboard here. I mean, I am definitely overboard. Maybe that's... maybe I'm just taking the cake right now. And I did nothing. I thought about it from time to time, but I did nothing. And after one family breakup and reestablishing, I remarried in October of 2014. And I thought, maybe it's time now. Maybe it's time to start the Facebook page. And I did. In July of 2015, July 25th. I look at the experience of doing that page and other things and reaching out and working with shelters and going to cat shows and seeing that side of the cat fancy, as they say. And I think of the 3-year delay. And that's really the only regret I have. I call it the 3-year eye roll. If you have anything you're passionate about, you're really into, there will be naysayers. Ignore them. Follow your passion. I had no clue where it would take me. From a Facebook page to meeting people all over the country and hearing how blessed they've been to sitting and talking into a microphone over a new podcast. All that was delayed for 3 years that I can't get back. Well, I'm sure not going anywhere. Come along for the ride with me. Don't let anybody 3-year eye roll you. And until next time, love cats. If you like this episode, please consider sharing it on your social media platforms and writing a positive review for it where you listen to it. Both those things would really help. Until next time, love cats.